called Switzerland because it's significantly colder. We had a very, very nice time in the Holy Diamond. What impressed me so much on this visit is really a almost a realization. Yeah, in English. Thank you. A realization which I made. For me it was very significant to just see the temple on which devotees work. It's not devotees, also devotees, but so professional company, of course. We work day and night on it. Even when we came back from the temple room quite late in the night, around 11 o'clock, there were still lights on the temple, and the cranes were bringing things and taking things. They were building this temple. And later I was asked to look at the outlets, the construction site, and walk through the new temple, temple area. And then I saw this huge hall. I mean, it's a hall that 10,000 people at one time can have darshan, Radha Madhava. When I walked through this, I couldn't understand something which I was feeling in my heart earlier. It had been a feeling only, but now when I walked through the construction site, it seemed to be given a shape, this feeling. And that feeling is that this temple should not be constructed only once, but it must be constructed twice. Einmal gebaut, sondern zweimal gebaut werden. One is a structure which we can see, and the other structure is something in which we will see only by its effect. The one is the baton structure. I think we say in English baton.
Concrete.
Oh yeah, concrete structure, which will build a visible space with a dome on top of it. But are we really aiming at building a visible space? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, devotees are not construction workers. It is our goal to just build another monumental building. Is this why we build the space? I think the answer to this question is, spaces are meant to be filled. The space is only there to be a host of something else, a host of people. I think in spiritual life, more a host of a concept. And that concept, which will be hosted or accommodated in this space, must be, in my mind, the yuga dharma of chanting the holy name. In other words, we don't want to just have people in there, we want to have chanting people in there who participate in the yuga dharma of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And it is on this subject where I would like to speak this morning. I would like to speak about Chaitanya's mood in chanting the holy names of the Lord. It is, I feel, an important lecture which warrants it's a difficult English word, I'm not even sure if the right word justifies spend an hour of dinner now in the temple room and might eat our breakfast a little later than the normal because I'm scandalously late for this lecture. We were caught up in a traffic jam. This time our wings in Ananda Chaitanya's car, this wing function didn't work. In other words, we couldn't fly over the traffic. We have done this in the past years, but this time it was too cold. Jaya Jaya. Antya Lila chapter 14. This is repeat. Krishna Raviyoda Gopira Dasa Dashahaya.
Krishna Raviyoda Gopira Dasa Dashahaya.
Seda Shadashaya Prabhura Udaya.
Seda Shadashaya Prabhura Udaya.
Krishna Yogi Gopi Dashadashaya.
Krishna Yogi Gopi Dashadashaya.
Seda Shadashaya Prabhura Udaya.
Seda Shadashaya.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopiya Dasha Dashahaya.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopiya Dasha Dashahaya.
Om Sai Dasha Dashahaya Prabhu Raudaya.
Sai Dasha Dashahaya Prabhu Raudaya. Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopi Dasha Dashahaya.
Sai
Dasha Dashahaya Prabhu Raudaya.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopi Dasha Dashahaya.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopi Dasha Dashahaya.
Dasha Dasha Haya Prabhu Raudaya.
Sei Dasha Dasha Haya Prabhu Raudaya.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopir Dasa Dasa Haya.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopir Dasa Dasa Haya.
Sei Dasa Dasa Haya Prabhura Udaya.
Sei Dasa Dasa Haya Prabhura Udaya.
Please, Matadis also. Possible.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopi Dasha Dasha Haya.
Krishna Ravi Yoga Gopi Dasha Dasha Haya. Sei Dasha Dasha Haya Prabhu Raudaya.
Translation because of time. When the gopis felt separation from Krishna, they experienced 10 kinds of bodily transformations. These same symptoms appeared on the bodies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 53 now describes these 10 symptoms of separations which Mahaprabhu felt as he was chanting. Sintatra jagurur vigo anavang malinangata kalapu yadhi unmado moho mrityo dasha dasha. The 10 bodily transformations resulting from separation from Krishna are anxiety, wakefulness, mental agitation, thinness, uncleanliness, talking like a madman, disease, madness, illusion, and death. This verse is part of a description of Srimati Radharani's different traits from Ujjwala Nilamoni by Srila Rupa Goswami. In his book, he elaborately explains the 10 symptoms as follows. Chinta, this is anxiety. So he will now give an example what a devotee feels who feels that, oh, Krishna is not with me. Many of us will maybe feel, oh, Krishna is not with me, but maybe that's not so bad because he's, isn't that normal? Then we don't feel that we are really connected with Krishna. I mean, I can still eat and sleep. But a devotee who wakes up from the false dream of being secure without Krishna, he feels differently. He feels that Krishna is not there. That's the greatest problem in my life. And ultimately, feels I see no reason to continue living. And the example that Srila Prabhupada quotes here is a very high example, the example of Radharani, what she felt when Akrura took Krishna, Balaram, from Vrindavan and to Mathura. At that time, Srimati Radharani's mind was disrupted, and she became almost mad because of extreme separation from Krishna. She experienced great mental pain and agitation, which caused her to drown in mental speculation in the river of anxiety. She thought, now I'm going to die. And when I die, Krishna will surely come back to see me again. There's yet another thought. When he hears of my death from the people of Vrindavan, he will certainly be very unhappy. Therefore, I shall not die. So she didn't want to give pain to Krishna without death. So, in the ongoing purpose, which I can only recommend to you if you want to hear many, many examples of those who feel separation from Krishna. Thank you. Prabhupada quotes many, many verses from the scriptures which explain these different states feeling separated. One verse we will continue, which we will hear most probably during this lecture. Now, I think we are all aware that it would be artificial for us to somehow hype ourselves to a mood which is privy to some of the greatest of the greatest devotees of Krishna. At the same time, we do hear that when Gauranga Mahaprabhu preached, he had a certain mood which was in alliance with the mood of these greatest devotees, especially here, Srimati Radharani. It's described in one of the scriptures that the mood of separation from Krishna, which the gopis and Radha experienced, made them cry so much that their cries were splitting stones. Do not know if you can imagine a cry which splits a stone. Maybe I should try to do this to wake you up, to cry that the house breaks. House is made of stones. And I have, you want to talk for the rest of your life about this, provided I could cry like this. I didn't try to hurry. So much force, so much energy, so much emotional intensity, translating into a physical active sound vibration, that's amazing. So sometimes say, she looked at me as if daggers flew from her eyes. Sie hat mit mir auf mich geschaut, als würden Dolche aus ihren Augen fliegen. Deutsche Poesie. That means a feeling which is that intense that it translates into a physical, perceivable reaction. When Mahaprabhu, when Radharani cried like this in intense separation, stones would split. We are not like this. We don't feel like this. So to move yourself into an imitation of such feeling would be something which in our tradition is really condemned. We would become sahajiyas, or we would be imitationalists, and we would be accused to be kapatis, cheaters, So what are we to make out of this? Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be in such mood of separation that he would feel the world without Krishna is empty, and he would cry as if a monsoon shower of tears was with him. He would actually feel it's not alright to be separated from Krishna. It's the worst misery in my life. It's something which is incorrectable. We hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita such a pastime that Mahaprabhu would not sleep during the night, but remain awake chanting the Maha Mantra like this, in this mood. Once Swarup Damodar, who was guarding the door, noticed that there was no longer the voice of Mahaprabhu chanting. So he thought, is something wrong? Has he finally killed himself? So he opened the door, and he saw that, and he checked. The door had been, there was no one inside the room. Those of you who have seen Mahaprabhu's living quarters in Puri know that there is a small Gambira room, but really small, extremely small. How small is it? It's really small. Not even from this pillar to that. I would say from here to here, to there, like this, not bigger. So he looked inside, no Mahaprabhu. Then this room was in another room. Big wooden doors. No Mahaprabhu. Then that room, you have to see it, is enclosed by another big vault room, a hall you can say. No Mahaprabhu. Abbasi, and the doors were all closed. How did he escape? So he was very worried. And he informed the other devotees. Has he finally done it? Has he finally taken this life? He often said this. He feels his life is useless without Krishna. All the devotees were very anxious. They wandered about searching for him with a warning lamp. You know, these are lamps which work in the darkness. They have a very, very far range in the light. And after searching for him all over Puri, they arrived at the entrance gate of Jagannath's temple, the Singhadwara, and there they saw him. And first, you know, as they approached, they were very joyous. They saw something golden and they could understand, that's Mahaprabhu. They were joyous, we found him. But when they came close and saw him, they were shocked, Uda. They were shocked. What did they see? His body had become long to the size of three meters. I mean, we should maybe have that's from here to there. Yeah, I used to jump 3 meters and 50 when I was young. Very long. There was no breath from his nostrils. Each of his arms and legs had become 3 cubits long. 3 times 30 centimeters. How much is this?
90.
Each of his arms and legs had become 3 cubits long. But his arms and legs. This is when people travel. That's not so long. Aha, here it is. Here we can understand. Only skin connected the separated joints. So apparently the joints had separated here, and a big space was between the joints. He had become so long. The Lord's body temperature, indicating life, was very low. Aha, here now it's clear. All the joints in his arms, legs, necks, and waist were separated by at least 6 inches. 1 inch, who's from America? 1 inch is 2.5 centimeters. Yeah?
No, 15 centimeters.
What?
15 centimeters.
15 centimeters, my God. There was a difference of 15 centimeters between
Wow.
Each one here, wow, then the fingers here, then the neck here, wow, that gets really long, then the shoulders here, then the waist, then the knees, then the ankles, then the toes. Look at this, you know, it was just one long body which had been like almost pulled by this mood of separation. It appeared that only skin covered his elongated joints. See the Lord in this condition. They became very unhappy. And when they looked at his face, they saw there was foam around his mouth. His eyes were turned up. Our Lord, what has happened to you? The most beautiful Lord lies like this. They only knew one thing, and that is what Prabhupada also told us. the ones when he came to these states of ecstasy, they began to chant the holy name. After some time, the Lord came back in one piece, jumped up and shouted, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, to chant. So you can see from this description that Mahaprabhu felt this separation, this longing for Krishna, made his body long. He was really, it's called darshan, these are transformations. This is what he felt. The feelings were so strong that he had these symptoms. In this world, you know, you and me know about feelings when we are hungry, then our stomach goes and makes some sound, or when we are feeling ashamed, we become red, there are bodily symptoms. But look at how intense Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation were. They were so intense that they could actually not be translated to the body any longer. The body almost gave way, because, you know, this is really, you know, this is really, I mean, this, which body can tolerate such a transformation? Only the Lord's body. This is how strong his feelings were there. What is inside came outside. And this was his mood all the time. This was always his insight. He may not have shown it all the time, like in this incident, but he was always in this intense type of feeling. Please imagine this. I don't know if I can reach your interest in this subject matter. You know, when I was today studying bodies, when I was driving in the red Audi of Ananda Chaitanya, people were tense. You know, there was one lady on her wheel, went like this. Most probably she had to come to her office, and she was in the Stau like us, you know. And the lady, this feeling of anxiety, maybe she thought my boss will fire me, translated into her body. I almost wanted to say, relax, relax, you know. You will become sick if you have these symptoms, you know. Just understand sacred space, you're an eternal soul, you know, it doesn't matter. I refrain from this. Because she was so easily, I guess, 5 minutes. Moods translate into the body, that's the point. And Mahaprabhu's mood was so intense that we have a reaction like this, like it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What are we to make out of this as followers of Mahaprabhu? I mean, we certainly don't expect in the next few days that Beethoven's body will become a long or the intense feeling of separation. But what are we to make out of this if we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Now, I wanted to talk about this a little bit. Because I really feel most of you have compromised your life. You are no longer feeling that intense drive in you that you need to realize Krishna, that you need to be connected with Krishna. And when you don't have a longing like this, a feeling for Krishna, there will be your life will be filled with other longings, other types of desires, other missions, and so on. And in this way, you spiritual life is absolutely theoretical. It's a shadow of the real thing. This is what I think about my life, and therefore I want to give this lecture a day before Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance day. So please listen carefully. If you don't listen, I will provoke you more than I have done now. Because every few lectures I can give, so I need your absolute attention. So let's enter into this subject now. What mood is Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam read one verse to us? Oh, it's a sehr aufmerksam von dir. Danke. Okay, sogar. Dankeschön. Dainanda tanuya kinkaram patidamam vishave bhavam budho kripaya tava para pankaja sitanuli sadrisham vichintaya. Mahaprabhu said, oh my lord, oh Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant. But because of my own fruitive acts, my own activities, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Now please, be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. No, no. The image is clear. The lotus feet of God are there, and just like any lotus has this dust, this pollen, we say, which belongs, which is attached to the lotus, we also belong naturally, not on the asphalt of material life, we belong to the sweet lotus feet of Krishna. Huh? This is our natural place. But instead of being natural, we are unnatural. Krishna Bahiruke, the scriptures say. We have turned our face away from Krishna, and therefore, out of this, we have trying to enjoy with deep vision to enjoy separately from Krishna. We have fallen into this external energy. And if you want your spiritual life in all earnestness to happen, you have to again be natural. You have to again reconnect to Krishna. Otherwise, you are like lotus dust on the asphalt. Cars will drive over it, and you will stop being dust. And you will stop being ontologically correct. Srila Prabhupada wrote about this mood. He said, those under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that this mode of worship, they can understand that his mode of worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna in separation is the real worship of the Lord. When the feelings of separation become intense, very intense, one attains the stage of meeting Sri Krishna. That's what Prabhupada said. So if you want to reconnect, apparently, you need this emotional drive, you could say, this drive of the feelings, the feelings of separation. Once they are intense, you come to the stage of meeting Sri Krishna. Then Prabhupada warns us, so-called devotees like the Sahajiyas cheaply imagine they are meeting Krishna in Vrindavan. Such thinking may be useful, but actually meeting Krishna is possible through the attitude of separation taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So such thinking may be useful. I don't know, or could we maybe check this? Tathagata Prabhu, do you have a database on your computer? And would you be so kind to look up CC Adilila 4:108 and get back to us? Prabhupada, maybe the time is this, or we have to ask ourselves what Prabhupada means. So let me bring this back to your consciousness, because reading and hearing is a little different. When I read, I can understand, but when you hear, it's difficult to understand. Prabhupada, he makes the point that Mahaprabhu taught the mood of separation to his devotees. This is the only way, this mood, this inner orientation, so that we can meet Krishna again. He translated this into a meditation which devotees adopt who are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As you chant the Hare Krishna Mantra in the school of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you shall have a certain inner orientation. And he says what that is. He says, so we are addressing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O energy of the Lord, O the Lord, please accept me. That's all. Please accept me. We have no other prayer. Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us. That's all. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting Him. Please repeat after me. Please accept me.
Please accept me.
Please accept me.
Please accept me.
There's the mood. Have you ever done something wrong in your life? I think yes. Many times. Have you wronged a person? Yes. Have you done wrong against someone and you have done a mistake and you really feel horrible? Why did I say this? Why did I act like this? And so on. And then have you ever felt in your heart the need to say, please accept me? You look at me and I look at you. I think we know a little bit what that is, you know. But we are living in such an atrophied our feelings are so atrophied, or the Gefühle sind so verkümmert, so deutsch gesagt, that we live our life half, not full, to full intensity. But I think we all know when we really make a mistake. I mean, I have seen this unfortunately in my relationship to my spiritual master. I was sometimes very absent-minded in my relationship to Srila Prabhupada. I was just acting, and I could see that I made mistakes. I could see that, and then I have again come to the Vyasa Sun and no one looked, and I release it from regret that I have been so absent-minded. Please accept me. And I felt my life was dependent on whether he would say yes or no. I remember that. I once made a mistake, I will not tell you what, because it's not important for this lecture. And I know. I once attacked my father with a weapon. I know I was a bad person, very bad. You were all very good, but I'm very bad by nature. I attacked him with a weapon, by Krishna's mercy, nothing happened. But after this, I could feel I had hurt my father. I could feel he had invested so much into my education and into my life, and I had become just so upset just because he threw me out of bed at 11 o'clock on one Sunday morning, you know. I was not in possession of my good feelings. I was just totally agitated, and I became very, very nasty. Very nasty. And just to think of this makes me almost cry. And I remember I really felt I had done something impossible. I had really done something to the person who in this life had really invested so much. really felt, how can I go on? I did. Really based on my personality, I remember. And then finally, but I was a little proud by nature. So it took me some time, but then I remember one morning I went, I brought presents, and I said, there's nothing I can say to defend myself. I'm absolutely nasty, I know this. And I can just only beg, please accept me. I still remember this. And I remember how my father, he looked at me. First he wanted to see if I was serious. I remember this. And then he saw it, he turned and he cried. He didn't want to see it. And then he just, after half an hour, he could look at him and he said, I can understand you. I was like this when I was young also. I remember it was very moving scene in my life. So here Prabhupada, he brings this type of mood, Virataya, attention. He says, we are addressing Krishna, please accept me, that's all, please accept me. We have no other prayer. Lord Chaitanya taught us that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us. My dear devotees, we have done a similar mistake. We have just turned against Krishna. It's a scandal what we have done, you know, and we have just become so absolutely absent-minded. Who knows what we have done? Maybe we don't want to know, but maybe in previous lives, I don't want to know what I have done. I would faint most probably, and so on. So, this mood, Prabhupada is talking to his disciples, should be accepted. In another place, he was in, let me say this right, the Honolulu. Honolulu, said in Hawaii. Capital town. He was making a morning walk, and then he all of a sudden turned to his disciples and he said, why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crying so much? He said, he's a sannyasi. He has absolutely no necessity to in this life. Why? He's crying for Govinda. That's the real necessity. Govinda Vira Hemave. The Govinda necessity. The necessity is Govinda. And he's not alone, this Govinda. Again, this life. Again, Vrindavan. Again, gopis. Again, dancing. Again, eating. Again, everything. That is the real necessity. So this idea that we are now in a false country, we have false desires, we have a false life, and that we should again reconnect with Krishna. That's the whole idea of Krishna conscious practice. That practice is necessary, and to enter this practice in all seriousness, you have to learn something which you will learn in the sacred space seminar. It's a simple prayer which we do in our tradition. It's a prayer which more or less says, since time immemorial I have forgotten you, my Lord, and as a result I have transmigrated through the different forms of life. So I was now a human being. Oh God bless. By the mercy of my spiritual master, I have learned about you, and I'm now able to re-engage in your devotional service. I thank you so much. And so, analogy where Mahaprabhu talks about this inner feeling of longing. It's an analogy of a beggar. When we were on Harinam in Trier once, I saw a very humble looking person, he was a beggar. And as I remember, we took this turn, the right turn, went to the famous dome of Trier. Dome means church. And as we turned around the corner, there I saw him, a beggar. He was not a social person, not a drunkard, and so on. He was a man of fine character. You could see from his face, fine, refined facial features, and he was kneeling on the street. He was really kneeling on the street, and he had his hands like this, and he was crying. I like to study faces of people. So when he didn't look, I was just looking in his face, and I think I detected the great suffering. Maybe his wife had left him, and his house burned down, and his son died in an accident, and he was now without any financial means and without any moral support. He was there, stripped to the bare essentials of human life. He had only his heart banging in his chest, and he was there like this, begging. And he was wordless. There was no word coming over his mouth. And I remember I told my body, I can't see that, can you give up at least 10 euro? So I will reimburse you in the temple. I will also go on the street and beg for this beggar. He really needs. It was heart-touching, you should have seen. So Mahaprabhu gives this example, begging for the mercy of Krishna. He says, my mind is like that yogi beggar. He wears a quill. Quill is something like this, a blanket around his shoulder, but it's not a nice shawl like this one. It's anxiety. anxiety. He needs something, he wants something. This is how my mind has become. And the only words coming from my mouth, from his mouth, from the mouth of my mind, ask Krishna, begging like this, Krishna, oh Krishna. I think we would say in modern English, we would make such a sound, we would say, alas, it's too refined for us. We would go like, Krishna, like this. And the mind goes. On his head, he has a turban of gold. He wears bangles of distress. He's not feeling all right. All he reads are descriptions of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. Long ago he left the great treasure of material enjoyment. He went with his 10 disciples, the 10 senses. And then he goes into a beautiful poetry which reminds us very much of, I think, this type of poetry you find also in other traditions, it looks so mystical. He goes in very mystical analogies, but I will just restrict in this lecture the analogy, although just to repeat the analogy up to here, the feeling is a feeling of great anxiety, greed, and distress in the mind, longing for only Krishna, only Krishna can help. My dear devotees, there is a beauty in this type of feeling. The beauty is externally Krishna may be absent, but internally he becomes present. So separation from Krishna is a sublime feeling, because it's this feeling which Prabhupada here says, when they become, they bring you to a stage where you meet Krishna, where you feel Krishna is in your heart. So practically, for your chanting, I would like to give you now a tip or an advice from this lecture, from the body or the content of this lecture. When you chant, when you sit down and chant, you just do this, what Prabhupada said, you understand, I'm actually separated from Krishna, and that's not good. My life has become complicated and compromised because of this. And as you are then turning to Krishna, addressing him, you bring yourself into this mood, please accept. Almost like you have experienced in this life, I gave you one experience where you feel regretful for having done a mistake, left you. The only one who's broken this relationship. And you turn to Krishna, you say, please accept me. What will happen? At that time, you will feel a strong connection with Krishna. You will feel connection through the chanting of the holy name. And that is a wonderful. And that is wonderful. That's the root of Chaitanya Bhakti. That's the secret of Chaitanya Bhakti. Which, when you go deeper into the subject, you begin to understand this. We did an adventure a few days ago. We went to Sri Vasanka, the place where Mahaprabhu's kirtans took place. And do you know what we did in that place? We sat down in the evening, because we had heard that Mahaprabhu was chanting there every day. So we sat there. then we read from Chaitanya Bhagavat with nice musical accompaniment, about Chaitanya's pastimes of chanting and dancing in Shiva Sangha. We actually did this. We had an audience which usually never comes to a lecture. The youth, they feel that it will be boring. We had a room. But I just asked them, sit down here. You're here, just look around where you are. This is the place where Mahaprabhu danced, and you just now chant. First you listen how Mahaprabhu chanted, and then you chant yourself. And we read from the holy scriptures, the sacred text, and everyone was closing their eyes and hearing. Even the most restless of the restless were doing this. We felt Mahaprabhu's presence. And what struck us so much is Mahaprabhu's involvement in the kirtan, his intensity in the kirtan, and the intensity of his devotees. I will read to you the same passage which he read, because it's a powerful passage in Mangopuni in the Asaram session. You will hear with your own ears what chant. And as you hear this, as you learn about this, you can ask yourselves questions. What does this have to do with my practice? And you will for sure understand one thing. And that is what is clear from the quotations which you have heard today. You cannot live your life, your spiritual life, if you never think of becoming a servant of Krishna and you accept and please normally when there are broken relationships like father and son, I told you one, you go to a psychotherapist and he gives you counsel and he says to the boy, oh, you should not be so nasty, and then he will also say something to the father, you should be more tolerant, your son is a little free minded, you know, don't shake him on the bed like a flea out of a blanket. It triggers some memories, you know. So he will mostly say to both sides, you did a mistake and you should reform yourself. But in this case, in our case, we've broken our relationship with Krishna. There's no advice to give to Krishna. He did everything correct and we did everything incorrect. The whole guilt or the whole problem rests on our shoulders. We did the mistake, not Krishna. He's still with us as Paramatma. He has not given us up, even though we gave him up. Do you follow what I'm saying? You have to, you know, here we can't run away from. And here is the serious problem which we have to face. And it becomes more serious when we ignore it, like most of us do. So this was my lecture to you. Thank you very much for listening. I hope everything was presented in a way that it touched a little bit your heart. I know when I told you about my father and what I did, you were all alert and seemed to have touched your heart. I even found something to get to you. It's a very serious thing. Please do think about it. And when you leave the lecture, most probably you will forget everything because we give so many lectures each day. Don't forget two things. When you chant, bring this little place, you know, that like it is said in this beautiful prayers. Oh my Lord, I have forgotten you since time immemorial. But today I'm turning to you as your sincere servant. Please accept me. And then from that place, that inner place, you should chant. Don't allow that you just chant from a place of busyness, like where you might think, so what's for breakfast, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. The million of other things, which is mostly the ground on which we stand in our spiritual practice, then it's not, you have no ground really. You need to ground yourself in a spiritual concept and from there chant. Thank you very much. I will now open the forum for your questions. I think Tagovir Prabhu's hand. Is there other questions after Tagovir Prabhu? Nayana Manjali. Yes, let's see if others can. Yes, Tagovir Prabhu, please.
But you were telling us about your dad.
Yes.
And how he admitted to you that he was like you when he was young. I found that interesting. And I wanted to ask whether, in the analogy, Krishna would say that to us. I mean, he must have thought about that. I mean, he wasn't really like us. He didn't. I mean, he can't, you know, turn away from himself like we turn away from him. But we have independence, he has independence.
Yeah. I will repeat the question for the recordings. Tathagata Prabhu said that when I turned, when I said to my father, sorry, I regret it, he gave me comfort by saying I was also in regret when I was young. I understand you. Now, what's in this analogy, what's about Krishna? Is there some similarity? So it's Krishna's independence, his being of independence, a small part. I would say that let me say that there may not be a literal similarity here, but in essence there are two qualities of Krishna which come to mind, which are very much necessary if we ever wish to be accepted by Krishna again after we have done wrong. And that is that he is ready to forgive great, even great aparadhas on the part of the living entity. Example is given when Lord Rama was once in this forest resting with Sita. Sita was next to him. And there was a crow which attacked the Lord. That's my wife. And the crow was so disturbing. It was Indra who wanted to provoke Rama. He began to attack Sita with his claws. Sita chased the crow away. The crow came a second time. This time, it was really hurting Mother Sita. Crow tore open her blouse and scratched her body with a claw. This much aggressive the crow was. Imagine. So Mahaprabhu took Ram, immediately got his arrow. He took aim. Crow immediately on his arrow. Ooh, this is now the arrow of God. I will be gone. And very quickly he came and bowed down to the lotus feet and said, forgive me for this terrible act. And it is described that the Lord forgave the crow, did not kill the crow. So forgiving. And this is really an offensive act, really offensive. So forgiving. And another quality comes to mind. Krishna is very grateful for every little service which has been done. Krishna knows we have nasty habits. You know, we have nasty feelings. Not you, but I. Nasty feelings. And he knows, but he is grateful for whatever little service we have done. He never forgets. Never, never, never. Even if it should happen that you are reborn somewhere, he will not forget the services which we have rendered to him in this human form of life. Not possible. He is not. And I think that is good for us. It's very encouraging. It's forgiven and grateful. So these two qualities, minute qualities, I saw in my father. He said, never mind. And I'm happy to have such a son. He likes me even now. Yes, there was Nayana Manjari and then Madame Mohan Bendy.
Yeah,
and
Maharaj, you spoke about the feeling separation, that you should develop this feeling. And I can say in my life, when I become disappointed with my relationship around me, or perhaps like meeting great personalities like Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan or such places, then I may feel this, like mm-hmm. some flash of this feeling of separation, but this, again, it is gone again, and again I forget. So how can we like prolong this feeling or develop it more?
So Jnana Manjari says, sometimes I do have such feelings, either out of disappointment in relationships or when I connect myself with great, great personalities like Rupa Goswami and see how they practice. But in my case, sometimes it's there for a short time and then it's gone, and how to prolong. Yes, you know, I really feel that you can, it requires practice, and the practice is there in your chanting of the mantra. That's your main practice. So instead of chanting absent minded, then you just, okay, that's what we do. And they have mantras. This is not a mantra for us. There's a universe that is connected. That's what we usually teach in our japa retreats. You have to just stop absent minded chanting there. There it will come naturally. Please accept me. Please engage me in your service. These are all prayers which we have instructed to chant by our Srila Prabhupada. It will work. Nayana Manjari, I want to tell you something personal. I begin to sense, it's only beginning, in my spiritual life, the chanting is much more than chanting. I begin to understand it, because why would Prabhupada and why would Mahaprabhu have repeatedly stressed this as the main and effect only practice which is necessary? So it must, if such personalities were so high, you know, they speak of chanting, they must speak of something else than what I'm doing. Like, when I'm thinking like this. When a big poet speaks about good poesy, it must be something else than my understanding of poesy, which is basically alle meine Entchen schwimmen auf dem See, you know, something very simple. You know. It must be for a high developed poet, it must be something quite substantial, something very valuable when he speaks of poesy. So the chanting must be something different from what I do at the present moment. This is what I usually begin to understand, and I'm very intrigued to learn more about chanting, and Krishna gives me more and more opportunities to come. More and more I read Prabhupada's books really different than I read from before. I become more alert to the subtle nuances. That's a French word. Wow. So, thank you. Last question by Madame Mohan. Yes, Madame Mohan, what is your question?
It's more a question from we read recently in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and one thing struck me there, it was that the whole crowd of the chanters of the Harinam were screaming, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi. What is the mood? Chaitanya, as the most merciful person, how could he tolerate himself or his followers such a killing desire? What is behind?
Good question. If you would have asked me 10 years earlier, I would have speculated an answer. Did you look it up in the Bengali? That's what I usually do when something strikes me, the word-to-word translation. But I also remember hearing this often. How could these devotees, after engaging in kirtan so long, was a long naga sankirtan, who were in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think it must have been peripheral devotees, so again and again, the physical devotees who said. And I think Vrindavan Das Thakur picked it. I can't imagine Gadadhar finding it going, kill the cat, get his knife, you know, there's no knife on him, you know. It must be peripheral devotees. Gadadhar's knife, I can't imagine doing this. And Mahaprabhu calmed the frenzied crowd. He calmed them down and he had this conversation with Mahakasi of God.
Also maybe because they're liberated, liberated souls. For this Leela, Yoga Maya may have, you know, made up.
That's a good question. Then that's a good point for this Leela. Yes, this is actually the right understanding type of Prabhu. In Leela, the Leela needed this edge, you know, because it was, after all, a life-threatening situation that Muslims would severely punish people who chanted. And we knew this in Haridas Thakur's case. They were prepared to kill him. That is what their governmental policy was. That was at that time. So the Leela needed that confrontation. I heard something very interesting on this. You know, in Mahaprabhu's, they have this sign in the kirtan. It's round, but it has cut. It goes like this. This, and this, and then this. Have you it is carried? It's actually, I heard, it's a sign of the Qazi. It's an Islamic sign. But the devotees of Mahaprabhu have put the tilak on it. And it became part of the sankirtan decorations. We should maybe have that also. That's what I heard from one of the organizers of the kirtan events. So yes, it was a clash between cultures, really, Islamic and Goliaths, and just like and they are in a clash, a struggle happened, and Leela needed that struggle. And finally, Leela came and covered. it had that how would you say, social component, you know, social activities. So I thank you very much. If we are a little late now, let us end here and ask the question, what is there for prasad? If there is anything. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaura Premanande ki jai,
Sri Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj ki
jai.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah.